Matthew chapter 17. I want to dive in. I feel like I have a word from the Lord for us this morning that I really want us to receive. In fact, I want to pray for just a moment. I want us to receive this, and I want you to receive it in the right spirit this morning. And I think it's a challenging word, but I feel like it's a word for me. I feel like it's a word for us. And I feel very compelled to share this morning with us. Father, open our hearts. Open our hearts to receive your word. Open our ears to hear the voice of your spirit. God, these are very, very key days. More than I think we even understand, what we're sowing in these days, we will reap the rest of the year. And God, it isn't just about together going through these 21 days of fasting and praying. It's about setting our year aright. It's about setting our hearts aright. It's about determining to live our lives in a counterculture way. God, help us this morning. Speak to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 17. Have you ever wondered? Let me ask you this question as I start today. Have you ever wondered why your prayers go unanswered? Have you ever wondered why you can't just seem to get a breakthrough? Have you ever felt like there was just something missing to the way that you were praying? Almost like a missing ingredient in a recipe. Here's another food illustration for us. Like something that needed to be there that wasn't there, and you just couldn't quite figure out how to pray. I believe that we're to see greater things happen if we could figure out some key things from Scripture in regard to fasting and prayer. And I believe it's a word for us today. I believe it's a word that will encourage us. And I felt coming into this morning that I was to say to you, continue strong for this week. Don't pull back just because we're coming to the last week. We're 2/3 of the way through this fast, but press in and make this week the best week of prayer and fasting. And finish strong. Keep focused. Let God do what he wants to do. Let mountains be moved. And I want to take a look at a story today where there were some folks who were struggling to get a breakthrough. And if you're one of those who have ever struggled with getting a breakthrough in your prayer life, I want this to be an encouraging word to you today. Matthew 17, starting in verse 14, it says, "When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. 'Lord, have mercy on my son,' he said. 'He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him.' 'You unbelieving and perverse generation,' Jesus replied, 'how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me.'" Let's stop there for just a moment. And maybe you've read this passage before and it's been confusing to you. I hope to shed some light on it for you today. The disciples have a problem. They can't get a breakthrough when they're praying for this boy. And you got to understand the context. Up until this time, this particular situation, they've been seeing great things happen. Jesus had given them authority. They had gone out in his name. They had seen demons cast out and people healed. But then they come to this particular situation, and something's different about this situation. And Jesus highlights two problems in his answers to his disciples. Okay, these are his followers. And he says two key words, and I have those words highlighted here, and I have my little pointer today, and I want us to say them together. This word and this word, unbelieving and perverse. Let's say them together at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Unbelieving and perverse. Yeah, it's powerful words, and I think they really highlight the problem that's happening in this situation where breakthroughs are not coming. I believe oftentimes we don't see our prayers answered and we don't see breakthroughs come because of unbelieving and perverse. And I want to give you some definitions to think about in regard to these two words this morning that will help you, hopefully help you to see something here this morning and identify a potential problem when you're praying. And I feel like this is definitely for some folks here this morning. I'm convinced that this problem that Jesus is focusing in on is just as much a problem today, if not more. And quite honestly, I think the case could be made that it's more of a problem today. Unbelieving and perverse. Let's look at some definitions. First of all, for the word unbelieving. Unbelieving basically means not connected enough to God. Not connected enough to God. I believe sometimes the reason we don't see answers to prayer and we don't see those breakthroughs is we're just not connected enough to Him. In some ways, we've allowed something in our heart to become unbelieving. Sometimes our faith gets bruised, our faith gets wounded, and we're struggling, and we're just not believing like we should. And Jesus is talking to His very disciples, those that live with Him and walk with Him and talk with Him on a day-to-day basis, but somehow they've allowed doubt and unbelief to enter into their heart. And they've lost a deep and an intimate faith in Him that would bring about this kind of breakthrough they were praying for with this boy that was thrown into the fire. Jesus is saying, you become a doubter, and the doubt comes from a disconnection from me and from my power and from my ways, and your unbelieving is just simply that you're not connected enough to me. You need to improve your connection with God. I believe what Jesus is saying is if you were walking with me the way you need to, that would bring faith. That would renew faith in your heart, and that would take away the unbelief. And then He goes to a second word, and this is a tough word and a word that you know might make us a little uncomfortable. He says the word perverse. And perverse basically means this: we're too connected to the world. So it's an interesting thing that Jesus is contrasting and comparing here. He's saying, you're not connected enough to me, but in all honesty, you're too connected to this world. And that word perverse literally means in the Greek to be crooked or bent, to mean you've gotten things off a bit. You're out of tilt. You're too connected to the world, and you're not connecting with God like you should. In other words, you've gotten involved in some things that are diluting your relationship with God and even polluting your relationship with God, and it's perverse, it's messy, it's messed up, and that's the problem. So Jesus is saying to His disciples, these are His followers, this is not the unbelieving world, He's saying to those that are in the church, those that believe in Him, you're both not connected and you're too connected. You're not connected to me like you need to be. You're not abiding in me like you need to be. And you're too connected to the things of this world. And I'll be honest, I think that's a challenge for every single one of us in this room. It's a challenge for me. When I think about that in that context, it absolutely is a challenge for me. This fast is key for me. And I'll just be very confessional to you. This fast is one of two things that we do through the year that helps me recalibrate my compass. And when I use that term, recalibrate my compass, you know, if you have a compass and you get it around something magnetic, it'll throw the needle off. And it will no longer be pointing to true north. It'll be skewed, bent, crooked in the sense that it's not pointing in the right direction. And I get there at times. This world has a very powerful magnetic pull. How many of you have noticed that? And I need this fast to get my heart back where it needs to be, to get it fully in alignment. Not that I'm out here doing something horrible, but that I've just gotten the needle off to some degrees and I'm not quite where I need to be. And every year I'm thankful for this time of fasting because it recalibrates my compass and sets me back on true north. The other thing that helps me so much is the mission trip. The fast helps me when I'm off track. It helps me get refocused in my love and my devotion to God, because those things will get squeezed out by this world. And then the mission trip helps me to get my love and devotion to the lost and the Great Commission back in focus. Those two things key for me. And I'm not going to tell you this morning where you're too connected to this world or where you're not connected enough with God. Let me just say that's the Holy Spirit's job. And He is fully capable of showing that to you. He'll be faithful to show you if you will just simply ask Him and listen to His voice. And I would encourage you in this week, this final week of fasting, to ask Him those two questions. God, where am I not connected enough to You? For some of you, maybe it's just you're not spending enough time with Him. And maybe He really misses you in that private place, that secret place. Maybe some of you don't even have a secret place, to be honest. Maybe some of you couldn't even point to a, a prayer closet, a place where you go to pray. And God's just saying, please come, come there with me. Maybe you've been neglecting your time in the Word. Did you know that regular time in God's Word is the number one thing that'll bring about change in your life, the way you live? It's the number one, studies have found, it's the number one thing that'll change the way you live. It's why we encourage everybody in this church every year to read the Bible from cover to cover all the way through together as a church. There's power together, amen? When we do something together, it helps all of us. It helps all of us. It's like having a workout buddy. It's so much easier to work out when you have a buddy. And you know what? Look around. You got people reading the Word. You got people praying. You got people fasting. And now you got people wanting to fellowship with you in these small groups. You have everything you need to live a successful, fruitful, thriving Christian life. Just ask Him, where am I not connected enough to you, God? And where am I too connected to this world? For some of you, I think you've had a little bit of an eye-opening experience through this fast where you've given up TV or you've given up social media, and all of a sudden you begin to realize, I was wasting an awful lot of time on that stuff. And it's time I'll never get back, and it's time that quite honestly could have been used for something much more fruitful, much that would have brought much greater return in my life. So let's get back to our passage this morning. In verse 18, Jesus rebukes the demon and it came out of the boy and it was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we drive it out? It's interesting, isn't it? The disciples come in private. Why is that? Why do they come in private? Well, quite honestly, I think they were embarrassed. And it's interesting because Jesus kind of says, come on over here. Let's talk about this in private. It's going to be okay, guys. It's going to be okay. Verse 20, he replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Lord, bless Noah. Bless Noah. Bless Rick and Gina. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Did you hear that this morning? Mountains can move. Amen? Amen. Nothing will be impossible for you. And then he names two things. I want you to see this morning. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Remember earlier part of the passage? He named two things that were the problem. Now he's going to name two things that are the solution. And here they are, prayer and fasting. Let's say it together. You ready? Prayer and fasting. Let's say it one more time together real loud. Prayer and fasting. These two things solve the problem he addressed earlier. Let me show you how. First of all, prayer connects us to God. Prayer connects us to God. This solves the unbelieving part. You see, the more time you spend with God, the more confidence you will have deep down in your heart in God. The more you know Him, the more you experience Him, the more your faith will rise. Church, this is why I'm always, always, if there's one drum that you will hear me beat over and over again, it's to develop your own walk with God, to take the tools we give you that you can become a strong and faithful follower of Christ. It's not just enough to come here and hear a good message on Sunday. You've got to build your own walk with God. Daily in that prayer closet with the Word of God open, on your knees, praying and seeking His face. You've got to get to know Him personally, and that comes from spending time with Him. Let me give you an example, and I could use a lot of different things. The more I spend time with my team here at church, the closer we become, and the more we walk together in unity, and the more my confidence in that team rises. The more I spend time with my wife, the deeper we become. The more intimate we become with my kids. It's the same with God. The more you spend time with Him, the more connected you become to Him. And you go from unbelieving to believing. Every one of us in this room could probably spend more time with God. And this time of prayer and fasting is all about that, starting the year right. Let's look at the second word Jesus uses, fasting. So prayer connects us to God. Guess what fasting does? It disconnects us from this world. It disconnects us from this world. Did you know fasting is one of the least practiced spiritual disciplines in the church today? And yet it was one of the keys to the power and life and spread of Christianity in the early church. Fasting, by the way, is not punishing yourself so you can suffer for Jesus. That's not what fasting is about. No, simply put, it's about disconnecting from this world so you can truly connect with God. If you haven't joined us in our time of prayer here in the mornings, I just want to encourage you to come out. It's a great time of focusing your day and beginning to get that prayer time, that regular prayer time carved out. Join us. See, when we get involved in worldly things in this life, we lose some of our dominion. Now, I want you to think about this with me scripturally. Adam and Eve were given there in the Garden of Eden dominion over all the earth. And yet, because of their appetites, they sinned and they forfeited that dominion. Jesus has come to claim back that dominion, to ransom back that dominion. If you want your dominion back in this world, you have to push some things back. You have to decide not to be involved in some things. You have to decide to disconnect some things so that you can hear the voice of God, so that you can spend time with God. This church was birthed through a season of prayer and fasting. Everything that has happened here in this church is a result of a time of 21 days of prayer and fasting that Tracy and I did back in 1993. It changed our lives. And thank God, to His glory and His glory alone, it's changed many other people's lives. I'm convinced that fasting and prayer is one of the most important things we ever do as a church. Every year since the beginning of this church, the foundation of this church has been a time of prayer and fasting. Setting apart the first of the year to seek God, to see His will be done in our hearts, in our families, in this church, and in this city, and in the world. Fasting and prayer brings about things that you could never do on your own. And I don't want this to be about what we can do on our own. My dear friend Greg Diedrich has a saying, what's birthed in the flesh must be maintained in the flesh. What's birthed in the spirit must be maintained in the spirit. What God has done here, I give all credit, all glory, all honor to the Lord. The church, the academy, the mission trips, the missionaries being sent out, the marriages that have been healed, the lives that have been saved, the lives that have been touched. Glory be to God. Jesus endorsed fasting. Jesus said, when I leave, my followers will fast. They will fast. This is to be a discipline of the church, and yet we forgot it. And I think the reason is because we live in such a fleshly age. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, let me show you some passages. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had done what? Fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This is the beginning of the early church. And one of their habits was fasting and prayer. In fact, when we go back and look at the historical records, the early church fasted and prayed 2 days a week. Great men and women of God throughout history have prayed and fasted on a regular basis. They chose to live a fasted life where they were fasting often. And what was happening in Acts 13, I call it the prayer meeting that changed the world. Because as they're fasting and praying, they're sending out the first missionaries to go unto the world and preach the gospel. And it's the reason you and I are here today. If missionaries hadn't been sent out, you and I would not have heard the gospel. And it's in that context of fasting and prayer, they're laying hands on them, sending them off. God's giving them vision to reach the world. They're hearing from God. It's awesome what happens when the church fasts and prays. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, 27, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. In fastings often. The Apostle Paul believed in fasting and he practiced it often. Why? Because he knew there was nothing more powerful to disconnect him from this world and connect him with God. Remember, the problem is we're often unconnected from God or not connected enough to God, and we're too connected to this world. How do you remedy that? Fasting often unto God. We have a connection problem. We are triune beings. There's three parts to us. It's the way God made us. We're the only beings in all of creation that are triune beings, by the way. A tree is beautiful. I've seen some magnificent trees that stunned me. They're an awesome part of God's creation, but they only have a body. They don't have a spirit, and they don't have a soul. But they're beautiful. They're living. They're growing. A dog. We love our dog, Samwise. Every time I leave the house and come back, he's so happy. He loves seeing me. My family, they might not care if I've come back, but boy, Sammy comes and greets me every time. I can leave for 5 minutes, and he's just as excited when I come back 5 minutes later as he was when he saw me a little while ago. And I love Samwise. Samwise has a body, and he has a soul. You pet him, and he wags his tail. He gets happy, but he doesn't have a spirit. That leads to the question. I know what the question a lot of you are thinking. Well, do dogs go to heaven? Well, I don't know. Cats don't, that's for sure. I'm pretty convinced of that. But I'm not totally sure about dogs. I'm going to leave that one out there and just, you have to pray through that one. Amen. I got a lot of amens on that one. But in all of creation, we're the only ones that God created with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And that plays into our connection problems. And let me just give you a little bit of insight there. And this was one of the most helpful things that I've learned along the way that really helped me to understand what it is to walk with God on a daily basis. Let me just give you some thoughts, okay? First of all, our body. You know, it's our body that connects us to ourselves. Your body keeps you self-conscious or self-connected, so to speak. You know, you touch a hot stove and your body feels pain. You go without food for a long time, your body experiences hunger. Your body has appetites. And, you know, those appetites and those needs keep you connected, in a sense, to yourself. And let me just say, if you have self-connection issues, thereby meaning that your appetites are out of control, and sometimes my appetite gets out of control, especially through December. I'm just telling you, December is just the most gluttonous season for many of us. We eat and eat and eat. We go to all kinds of Christmas parties, and we just feast and feast and feast, and my appetite gets out of control, and I'm so thankful for the fast to set it back. Not resolutions and all that stuff, but to get my body, soul, and spirit back in alignment with God. And if you have self-connection issues, then you need to fast body things. See, fasting helps break that and bring your body back into connection with God. How about the soul? The soul connects us to others. Your soul is what makes you happy or sad. It's your mind, your emotions, and your will. And sometimes our emotions get out of control, and our emotions are really playing on us. We use that term. And sometimes we need fasting for our soul to bring our emotions and our will back in alignment with God. Sometimes our will becomes weakened and we can't just seem to keep a commitment to anything. We can't seem to be disciplined in any area. And fasting helps break that and restore that. And then lastly, our spirits. Our spirits are the part of us that are connected to God. Man, when you become born again, it's your spirit that becomes alive within you. And you have that close connection with God where literally God's living within you now. All three of these, body, soul, and spirit, are at work within you right now. And check this out. One of them is strongest within you right now. Either body, soul, or spirit. One of them is strongest in you right now. And let me just tell you what happens when that strongest one, whatever it is, it'll tend to dominate the other two. Whichever one is stronger, body, soul, or spirit, it will tend to dominate the other two. If your emotions take over, if your soul is in control of your body and your spirit, let me just tell you this, your emotions will kill your body. If you fall into a place of depression, You know, your emotions will say, forget you, body, forget you, soul, and you will suffer physically and spiritually. You will pay a price if you allow your emotions to be in control of you, your soul to be in control of you. If your body takes over, let me just tell you, your body doesn't care about how you feel about it. Your body is going to eat whatever it wants. Your body is going to sleep with whoever it wants. Your body is going to drink as much as it wants. Your body is going to have all kinds of reckless, damaging, out of control behavior. And let me just tell you, those are the type of things that will always make you feel bad afterwards. Because your body was never meant to be in control of you. And it has absolutely no regard for your spirit or your soul. And then if your spirit's in charge, some of you had a hard time, maybe as you read your Bible, understanding Romans chapter 7, chapter 8. Let me just tell you, the whole Romans 8 discussion is about this very thing. When the Spirit is truly in charge, go read Romans 8. This will give you the discussion. The man who is controlled by the Spirit does not listen to and is not controlled by the flesh anymore. It's powerful. These other two parts are now subjected to the Spirit that is now in control. And let me just tell you, Romans 8 will make better sense with this understanding. And this is the beauty of fasting. If you haven't written anything else down, you ought to write this down, because this is the point I want to make today. This is the beauty of fasting. You kind of get a double bonus here. Fasting weakens these other two. It weakens your body. It weakens your soul so that your emotions are not in charge. And it strengthens your spirit. So literally I can say to you, I feel weak in my body, but I feel strong in my spirit. And that's a good thing. That's why fasting is so important, folks. If you have never understood it before, when your spirit man is the strongest of the three, God can do great things through you. Because you're not living for your flesh. You're not living for your gratification. In fact, you're pulling back on those very things because you want God and you want Him moving and working through your life. Let me end with a precious passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 58. I wish we could spend more time here because it's such a powerful chapter. It is the chapter in the Bible on fasting. It really is. There's lots of references, lots of them. But this one helps explain it in a more full context. And fasting isn't just about giving up food. It's about setting our hearts and lining our hearts up with God and His will and His plan and His purpose. It's about giving, radically giving, being radically generous. Being people who are very concerned about justice. We as the church ought to be the most concerned about justice for those that are oppressed, for those that are in need. In verses 8 and 9 in Isaiah, very interesting. If you fast correctly, if your heart motive is right, and you're praying and fasting as unto the Lord, then God says three thens that are really powerful. And here they are. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Some of you have needed a breakthrough in healing. This could be very much your answer. Some of you have needed something in your body and or your emotions. Something from a traumatic event in your past that has plagued you. When you fast as unto the Lord, your healing will quickly appear. And then he says, then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. What does that mean? Well, let me just say it like this. Being righteous doesn't mean we're perfect, but being righteous means that we've once again been set right with God. In other words, here's what it means. You're on the right track again. And you're living your life for Him, not for you. And it's about His kingdom and not yours. And it's about His plans and purposes and not your plans and purposes. And this is awesome. This is the reset that I was talking about earlier. This is about living a holy life unto the Lord. In the midst of a culture and a day and a time when people are just going crazy in sin, God wants to raise up a holy remnant of people who will be his light and shine his light forth to the world and to the nations. Living on purpose. Living, that's another way you could put it. Living your life on purpose for the glory of God. And then number three, then you will call, the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. So the first then is healing. The second then is holy. And the third then is heavenly help. What do you need? What is it that you've been struggling with? What is the breakthrough that you need? Then you will call, the Lord will answer, you will cry for help, and he'll say, here I am. One of the things in Isaiah 58 it talks about is that you would use that bread, your bread, literally the money that you have been saving if you fasted a meal a day or whatever you've done, that you would take that and give that to the poor, the needy. I would encourage you even in these next weeks to consider that. Think about that. Think about how much that is and make that a part of your Harvest Project giving. That it'll go to needy, hurting, broken people, ladies downtown who are in need of help and God is working to save their babies. That it'll go for justice, that it'll go for righteousness. Those are three promises for Isaiah 58. Is that a blessing to you? And would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up today, please. Maybe some of you are in a place where you need prayer this morning. These brothers and sisters would love to pray for you, love to believe God for a miracle in your life, your heart, whatever need you have. If you're here today and you haven't